So we have a treat for you. Our speaker, Marlo Blanford, is here with us. And she has, for the last 10 years, been the kids and family pastor at Westside Vineyard, and that's in Santa Monica. She's a mom as well, and just has a heart for, first and foremost, Jesus, but also just, getting us connected with him, right? All right. So this is Marlo, everyone. Thank you. And she was a speaker at Women's Retreat. She was.
That's right.
Famous. Marlo's famous.
Practically. Almost famous. Yeah. How does that go? Okay, that's good. Uh-huh. No, that's good. So, John and Charles Wesley's mom, Susanna, back in the 1800s, I loved that woman, but she had a child every year of her fertile birthing years, except for one. So you guys think you have a bad? Come on, you guys are good. But she would just be, this is back to your remarks about how to, have a quiet time or just connect with God, and she would just pull her apron over her head, and wherever she was, and she just be with the Lord. And all the kids, all the 19 kids, they knew what to do while Mama had her apron over her head. So, that's another idea, what you guys could do if you want to spend time. I say this every time I come and speak at Moms, Inc. And so those of you that have heard it before, the nights are long and the years are short. And it feels like just yesterday, I birthed my son, and they brought him to me, and he was crying. He had these two little dimples, right? Couldn't be here, right? It had to be up here, but he still has those dimples when he smiles at me, and he's 24. And it seemed just yesterday that I was so tired, and that I got up in the middle of the night to change my daughter's diaper, and I just put a new diaper over the old diaper. And the next morning, my husband was like, okay, I get it, you're tired. You need to be, right? That didn't happen last night. She's 10, but it seems like it. So enjoy this time as much as you can. Put away your phones. You don't have to video everything, right? Just be, and it's going by quick. All right? That's all I got to say. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. First, I'd like to give a biology lesson. Is that okay? So let's bring it back, okay? Back to high school. Our bodies are amazing. Did that come out all right? This sort of sounds like that fifth grade video, then they separate the boys and the girls and are amazing and changing bodies. That's not what I meant. What I meant to say is our bodies are amazing. Last night while you slept, your body was revitalizing itself, restoring itself, rebooting itself, clearing away toxins that came into your brain during the day, cementing new memories, growing and repairing tissue, and giving you energy to get here this morning. And that was just last night. That's what your bodies did. And today on the way here to this building, your rock star body protected you from millions of germs and contaminants that wanted to kill you. I'm not exaggerating. Your skin, like a boss, took the brunt of it by preventing bacteria, viruses, and pollutions from entering your body, all the while maintaining the balance of fluids, regulating your body temperature, and guarding the whole body from all these things you just want to get in. And your skin renews itself every 2 weeks. I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes, but it is. And if your nice friend next to you happens to sneeze or breathe on you too hard and some germs from her try to get in your body, the boogers in your nose will keep them out. Do you know that? And if some germs get by while your lungs have these little hairs called cilia, and you've got more mucus in your lungs, and your cilia will gather those germs and escort it out of your lungs. I mean, is this amazing? Like, just sit there and go, wow, I'm amazing. Just say it. I'm amazing. Say it louder. I'm amazing. Okay, good. And even as you sit here this morning trying hard to stay awake, maybe you had a bad night last night, your body is hard at work maintaining something they call in biology called homeostasis. You guys remember that word? Right? That means just like everything's at a certain level, staying the same. Your body really wants to stay the same. Did you know that? Like, your body wants your temperature to be about 98.6 degrees. And even if you're in freezing weather or if you're in Palm Springs and it's 105, right, your body's still like maintaining the same temperature. Is that great? The amount of carbon dioxide and oxygen are regulated. And another word for homeostasis is peace. And that just so happens to be what we're talking about today. Your body wants peace. And guess what? Isn't it good that you don't have to think about maintaining homeostasis? Like, you're like, okay, have I breathed enough to get enough carbon dioxide out and oxygen? Like, what if you had to think about breathing and blinking and all of those things that just come naturally, right? You'd be a mess. But you don't have to think about it. And just as our bodies want peace, so does our hearts and souls and minds. We want peace. And do you think that God would design our amazing bodies to be at peace and then not want us to be at peace too? In who we are and our emotions and feelings? This is an important thing, and I think it's important to God too. So we do want peace. Miss America wants it. What does she want? World peace, right? And I see a lot of bumper stickers for peace, like give peace a chance, peace is my choice. I saw one that said, I'd kill for a Nobel Peace Prize. So that's kind of missing the point. But it's no coincidence that we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, peace, today. The fruit of the Spirit is, do you guys have them memorized? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's very good. So I want us to just pray today and just whatever God has for you, that you'd be open to it and that I would too. So Lord, give us ears to hear this morning. These are your words that we're going to be talking about. And as we look in to them today, Holy Spirit, we want you to show us what you'd have for us, because it's all going to be super different. We're all just so on these different journeys, and we're at different places along our lives, and yet we're here together, and it's important that we hear this word together today. So we take a deep breath and say, yes, Lord, we want to hear from you. Amen. All right, so I want to start off and give you a good definition of the word peace. Is that okay? And so I'm going to give you the Greek and Hebrew words for peace. The first is that the Old Testament, the word for peace in Hebrew is, does anybody know? Shalom. In the New Testament, the word for peace is eirene. Everybody say eirene. Look, you guys are like Greek scholars now. Good job. Shalom from the Old Testament, we read it 200 times, over 200 times. And it means this: completeness, soundness, safety, health, prosperity, quietness, tranquility, contentment, freedom from war, and friendship with God and others. You want some shalom in your life? I do. In the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene, and it's used over 80 times. And we see that it's a state of national tranquility, exemption from rage and war, harmony, peace between individuals, security, safety, and prosperity. Peace is good, right? Give peace a chance, right, in your own lives. And the term eirene has also a meaning that is exclusive to Scripture. And this is what I want to, if you remember nothing today, this is it. I think it trumps all other meanings. Irene is really the only true lasting peace, and it's peace with God through Jesus. That's the word that's used in the New Testament. That's the boss peace, right? Here's what I mean by that. Because our greatest war in our lives is not your daughter who wouldn't get up for school this morning. She wouldn't. She wouldn't get up for school. Tammy, where are you? Tammy, we spent the evening together. And she went to bed so happy, right? Danielle, that's my daughter. She wouldn't get up today. That's not my war, though. That's not the war that I have. It's not with your husband or financial issues or relational issues. The greatest war is really our separation from God. When it all comes down to it, that's like the bottom line. That's the war that we live in. And scripture says it, before we know Jesus, we're enemies of God. Like, that's harsh, as the young kids say these days. That's like a new term, I guess. You were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated by your evil thoughts and actions. You were God's enemy. That's hard to hear. Here's the deal, as succinct as I can put it. In the beginning, our great, amazing God spoke, and the earth was created, and he blew life into Adam and Eve, created them in his image, and they had a true and unbroken relationship with him. They were at perfect peace with God, Adam and Eve. Perfect peace. Do you imagine like what the garden was like? Have you ever done that? So I was in Hawaii once, and I was at this really swanky hotel, and they had hammocks in the, you know, between all the trees as you'd walk through. And so it was one evening, it was like 7 at night, and I laid down in the hammock, and I think my body temperature was the exact same temperature as what was going on around me. And I was laying there, and I've never like felt so good. Like, I was at perfect peace at that second. And I think of that in the garden. Like, that probably happened all the time for them, right? They're at perfect peace with God and just like with each other, and the weather was perfect and all these amazing things. And then they chose not God's way. And they turned from God and they sinned and they went against God, and their relationship with him was broken, and there was no peace anymore. And there was a barrier between them and the righteous, holy God. But God had a plan. In the ultimate act of sacrifice, God the Father sent the Son to be our Irene, to be our peace. Jesus, this God the Son, wrapped himself in flesh and came and walked among us and lived without sin and was tortured and died. And in doing so, he took on the sin of the world and yours and mine, and rose again on the third day so we could have peace, real peace, true peace. Our good God bringing peace. And there was a scripture that I wanted to read to you today. If you got your phones out, look it up. That's fine. I won't think you're texting your friend. Colossians 1. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. Here is the boss peace. We can't talk about peace unless we talk about this. Well, somebody that found it, Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Read it out loud for me. Anybody? Do you have it?
I think Colossians 1, 19 through 23.
Yeah.
Is when it starts, for in him all the fullness of God.
Yes.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him.
Okay, that's good. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. Jesus, true and lasting peace, like the peace. And if you're looking for peace, which you are, because again, going back to what our bodies want, our minds and souls and hearts want it as well. If you're looking for that and you don't know the peace of God, like true peace, the irene, that when Jesus reconciled us, we're no longer at war with God, that's it. So it can't be clearer than that. What price would you pay for this type of peace? Guess what? You don't have enough money for that kind of peace. And you don't need anything. You don't need any money. You need faith. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the end. Jesus did it. He gave us peace. And is the lesson over there? No. Just say no. It's not. Because when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what you're saying is, I surrender. Now, when a war is over, usually two countries will sign a peace treaty, right? And that's agreement between two hostile parties that ends the war, okay? And the treaty outlines who gets what and the terms of peace. If you do this, then I'll do that, right? That's a peace treaty. But for us, with Jesus, when we say he has brought peace and the war is over, we don't make a peace treaty with God and say, okay, well, if this happens, then I'll do this. And if that happens in my life, then I'll be able to live like this. No, we say, I surrender. No matter what happens in my life, I surrender. So if you call him Lord, you're saying, Master, ruler, you're the boss. There's no terms. I don't have anything to give to this. You're in charge now. And this is unconditional surrender, where you say, your will be done, Jesus. Your will be done. No matter what happens to me in my life, is this a cancer? Is she going to surgery for cancer? Even if I have cancer, I still know the war was won. Even if my husband doesn't treat me the way that I want to be treated, I can have peace because the war is won, because I call Jesus Lord. No matter what happens. For us, when we unconditionally surrender, we surrender without conditions, except for what we know to be true about God, that he is love, he's eternal, he's the creator, he's wise, holy, knows everything, he'll be faithful to us. Can you surrender to that, what you know to be true about God? Can you truly say Jesus is Lord? It's a free gift. Because of what Jesus has done, the war is over, but the hardest thing that we'll do is unconditional surrender. But I'm telling you, if you do, you will know true peace. And you won't understand it. And even when things don't go your way, for a long time, I just heard today that there's someone here that is fostering a baby and they're going to give that baby back to their family. And they've had this baby for months and months. And I don't know, there's not much, you know, I can't even imagine how she feels. Can she have true peace with? Yeah. I surrender. God, whatever you want. I'm open. I'd like to keep this baby. If it goes back to, I'm praying for that family. Right? Does that Do you see where I'm getting with this? This is the type of peace that Jesus brings. It's not guarantees. There's no guarantees in this life. Have you noticed that? Unconditional surrender will bring you true peace. So, there's this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a story of an army of 500 soldiers back in the day. It doesn't matter. And they found out that their king was going to be baptized in Christ. Their king was like, he became a believer in Jesus. And so the priest said, okay, but you have to surrender everything to Jesus when you're baptized. You die to yourself and you live for Christ. And so all 500 men said, because their king said, they said, yeah, we want to follow Jesus too. Okay, so they all agree to be baptized. And they go into the water and they were baptized. But as they were baptized, they held their sword out of the water just in case they had to still kill people with it. Right? I mean, they were baptized and they wanted to live for Christ except for this, like the 5%. They wanted to keep on to what they thought, you know, they might not be able to follow Christ in that way. Unconditional surrender says, no, I give up everything. Surrender to Christ. So here's back in the day in real surrender, the commanding officer of the surrendering force would have to go up to the other general or commander and offer up his sword. And that commander would take the sword, and then all of the other soldiers would drop their weapons. And they would hold up their hands like this. And this is kind of sometimes how we worship, right? This is how I sometimes worship. Because I just want to surrender to Jesus. Whatever he has for me, whatever he wants me to do, I want to say, yeah, I surrender because I want peace. My body wants peace. I actually like comfort more than I should, right? But I do want peace. And I know that the only way for true peace is unconditional surrender. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, that's what it means. So that was my first point. I'm not going to go much longer, I promise. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and peace being one of them, we know that really there's nothing we can do to get peace in our lives except for unconditional surrender. But that's not where the story ends. And so I grew up in a town called Lompoc. Anybody know that? Yeah? Yeah? How do you know? Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara. Okay. Well, so you probably look down on the people of Lompoc, right? No, I'm kidding. So Santa Barbara is the coolest city in the entire world. And Lompoc is the uncoolest city in the entire world. And they're really close to each other, like 45 minutes. But you drive into Lompoc and the first restaurant you see is called Hi, Let's Eat. And so people are like, hey, you want to go to the Hi this morning? We're like, yes, okay. It's the only place to eat in Lompoc. So anyway, so our family lived there and it was a cool little town to grow up in. But it was where my parents bought their first house. And so, oh, sorry. So it was brand new. And so everything. They planned everything for this house, and including all the yard and the trees and all that stuff. They were just little. And so my mom wanted an apple tree. And so she planted this apple tree, and it eventually, as it grew, it gave off the best apples I will ever eat. I have not had a better apple than would come every year from that apple tree. Now, to bear fruit, did that apple tree have to think, okay, it's apple season, I'm going to like have to really try to bear these apples. Okay, ooh. Is that what that tree did? What was that tree doing? It was just what? It was just there, right? It just so happened my mom planted that tree in the perfect place to bear those apples. And it was getting the perfect amount of water. And the soil was perfect for that apple tree. And all that tree had to do was just abide. And it was just bearing so much fruit that all of our neighbors would come and we'd just like, hey, everybody, it's apple season. And there'd be like people coming to steal the apples, right? And we were like, you can have that. You don't have to like come at 12 midnight. You can have those apples because there were so many. All that tree did was abide. And so all I've talked about peace-wise is what God has done through Jesus. That's how we get true peace. And then our job is not to do and abide and try to get more peace. But do good things and give money to the pregnancy center, which is good, super good. But you don't have to. All you got to do is abide. And that's when the peace will come. You will have peace here, peace with yourself. And you'll have peace with others as you abide. And then that fruit starts coming, the love, the joy, and the peace, and the patience, and the kindness, and the goodness, and the faithfulness, and the self-control. So peace with God first, peace with ourselves, by faith, we have true peace with God. There's nothing we can do but surrender and then abide, which abiding is knowing God's word and applying it and living it and doing the stuff and to be pure of heart. I love this scripture, Psalm 85:10. It says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Like, that's such a cool picture, right? Righteousness being knowing what God says and wants for us to live this abundant and good and amazing lives and actually just doing it and walking, making choices, God choices instead of our own. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Here's what it looks like. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You guys kind of know this. Probably. Some of you might not. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Okay, in every situation, think of just, okay, close your eyes. Is there a situation in life right now that you're anxious about? If you're taking notes, write it down. What is it that is bringing unrest and peace to your mind? Is it your finances? Is it a relationship that's broken, that is breaking your heart? What are you anxious about? What is bringing you unrest and not peace? Here's what God's word says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As you abide, you present your requests to God, and he will give you peace. And you won't be able to understand it. You will have peace, and the people around you won't be able to understand it. Transcends all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and your mind. While your body is busy guarding itself and blinking when a piece of dust comes, God will be guarding your mind and your soul and your heart. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, see that? Peace with God, peace with yourself, presenting your petitions to God. That's all you got to do. Abide, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And then you'll have peace with others, your husbands, your kids, your friends. You will have peace with others. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. Peace and righteousness kiss. Work at living at peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. Romans 12:18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all you can. You can't please everybody, but you can do all you can to live at peace with others. Peace with God first, the boss peace. Peace with yourselves. Abide, present your request to God, and then peace with others. Do everything you can to live at peace with others. And walk in righteousness and holiness, not to look good, but to have peace. Righteousness and peace, kiss. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's a good thing we don't have to drum that up. Like the apple tree in Lompoc, all we got to do is abide. You'll have tremendous peace through Jesus. So if you've forgotten that, if you've never known the peace of God through Jesus, like the boss peace, the Ereni peace, maybe today's the day. If you've forgotten the peace that you can have right here, if you've forgotten to present your request to God, or if you've just been overwhelmed by grief or sorrow, surrender. If you have been holding your sword out of the water and keeping that one thing, drop it. Unconditional surrender. And then do what you can to live at peace with each other and with the people around you. That's all I got. I'll pray for us, okay? Thank you, Jesus, that you spoke and we were created. And I just think of all the women here, just most having young kids and running ragged and just bringing a lot of cares and worries into this room. And there's probably some just things that nobody at the table even knows. Some secrets of the heart that always there, always bringing unrest, anxiousness. Lord, it's so hard. It's easy to call you, Lord, but it's so hard to live in that unconditional surrender. For those of us that try to make our peace treaties and try to bargain with you, God, Lord, help us to just give that up. Sold out, wholly devoted to you, living righteously and then living in peace. We can't drum it up. We can't drum any of these things up. We got to abide in you. You'll do it. So if you've been holding your sword out of the water and hanging on to, maybe it's like a pet grudge or unforgiveness, you haven't been able to completely surrender, I would say just let that go today. Let God bring justice. Let God work it out. God says vengeance is his. It's not ours. We can forgive no matter what. It doesn't let anybody off the hook. It doesn't say we agree with what has happened. But because we've been forgiven much, we can forgive. And this wasn't in my notes, but I just feel that that's an issue with somebody. So Lord, wash over us. Holy Spirit, we want peace that only you can bring. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness and patience with us. We're all on just amazing journey together. And again, just no coincidence that we're in this together this morning. Help us to see each other with your eyes. And I pray for the time at the tables just to be rich. And there would be much joy and peace that comes from this day. Amen. Thank you, guys.